I want to start off by saying that the state of our city is in excellent condition. With our conservative approach to fiscal management, with the help of Beth and others, and everyone's cooperation, the city's finances are in very good shape. But more important than the money is what we've accomplished to improve things across the city, and what we've accomplished in working on some things that have needed attention for a long time. I want to discuss some of last year's accomplishments and then highlight some of the things that we will be working on for the remainder of 2019. 2 weeks ago, I gave all of the council members copies of each annual report generated by each department head. And as one of the council members pointed out 2 weeks ago, I think it was you, David, after you reviewing those reports, it was an extremely busy year. At that meeting, along with copies of those annual reports, I gave you a kind of a summation of some of the key points. And I'm not going to go through all that this evening, but I would ask you to allow me to touch on one or two accomplishments for each of the departments, because I think it's important to get it in the record and for the media and everybody to hear some of these things. The street department upgraded some badly needed and worn out equipment, expanded the areas that they mow and clean, and keep cleaned up, and repainted the city's B&O parade train. The fire department responded to more than 1,000 calls, including emergency management assistance calls. Our police department handled 13,210 calls, upgraded some equipment, organized the safety night out, and hired 3 new police officers last year. We processed about 800 animals through our animal shelter, including about 400 of those that were for residents outside the city limits, and we did some improvement to the building, adding a roof over the outside kennels. In our building commission and our code enforcement office, we processed some 387 permits of various types and handled 39 cases with the plan commission and the Board of Zoning Appeals, issued over 1,400 code violations, and worked to complete 17 sidewalk projects through our sidewalk cost share program with property owners. Our city engineer prepared plans for drainage improvement in the Morningside, Terrace Park, and 12th Street neighborhoods and approved drainage plans for 17 businesses. Our electric department made several upgrades to their system and upgraded trucks and their chipper equipment. The wastewater department treated some 1.3 million gallons of sewage, worked with 11 construction and upgrade projects, and handled 204 loads of street sweepings, and got rid of more than 24 tons of household hazardous waste recycled material. The water department replaced the filter media in the treatment plant and started drilling a new replacement well and replaced the ladders on the well platforms and repaired 27 large water breaks around the city. The employees of the utility office processed some 96,000 bills, filed 130 small claims court cases, and assisted with the complete restructure of our stormwater system that will spread the cost of storm drainage more fairly across our customer base. Working with information technology vendors last year, we debuted a new city website with a fresh, more user-friendly interface, some new links, and new video. And our Parks and Recreation Department remodeled the building that the city now owns that is popularly known as the Kiwanis Building next to the 4-H Fairgrounds, so it's more modern and desirable for public rental. They improved the filter system at the Water World of Washington. They installed exercise equipment around Longfellow Park. And they organized no less than 8 events in Eastside Park. I think that's every one of the departments. I hope I haven't missed any of them. And these are just some of the highlights of what they've worked on. There were some other one-time improvements and equipment upgrades. And add all that to their regular normal things that the employees do. And yes, I think everybody has to agree it's been a very busy year throughout the city departments. 2 large projects I want to talk about that garnered much of my personal attention last year were the 15th Street Railroad Overpass Bridge and Business 50, both projects that have been cussed and discussed for many years and decades by this council and this administration and several previous councils and administrations. When I gave my State of the City address 1 year ago, I told you that work was going to start on the bridge that following month. Well, it did, in March, and as you know, we dedicated and opened that bridge this past December 6th. I think all will agree that it's a safer and more functional structure, one that is now has higher clearance underneath it for railroad cars, a higher load limit over the bridge, a lower arch for improved line of sight, and a pedestrian lane to that separates walkers and bicyclists from the vehicular traffic. It also has sound rail, side rails that aren't rotting off and falling away, and it's more eye-appealing. Besides the bridge, part of that project was the street approach, and it was resurfaced as part of the project, followed up then by our street department that repaved the remainder of 15th Street between National Highway and Grand Avenue. And Hazel Street that adjoins that, a cul-de-sac street, will be resurfaced this summer. I want to take this opportunity to publicly and officially thank the Davis County officials and the Davis County Economic Development Foundation for cooperating on this project. It became a true example of what can happen when various entities work together. As far as the city goes, we also have to thank the Indiana Department of Transportation for matching about 40 or 45% of the city's cost as a result of approving our application to make this a community crossings project. Between those funds and using money from the special local option income tax distribution that the city received in 2017, we were able to pay our portion of the cost of that bridge without taking any money away from other paving projects nor from other local taxes. Business 50. Maybe we should start calling it by its other name, the National Highway, because it won't be a Highway 50 too much longer. Is the other long-maligned project for the city. After long and at times intense negotiations, we have a plan that will result in a complete conversion of that roadway from a deteriorated and unsafe road into a street that will be something to be proud of. And I want to particularly thank David and Blake and Alan, who helped on some of those negotiations, last-minute negotiations, to get some of the language in the agreement that we felt was necessary from the city for the city's protection. While the state of Indiana has proven over the last two decades that this road is certainly a low priority and low maintenance road for them, it remains a major artery for our city residents, for county residents who do business in the city, and for out-of-area visitors coming into town from Interstate 69. The county has taken traffic counts around the county, and this is the heaviest traveled roadway in the county. It's become obvious that the state of Indiana will only do the minimum necessary. I've watched the road, like you, continually deteriorate every year for many years. The beauty of this project is the amount of money that the state is putting in. While the state generally will require local matches for road projects of 20 or 30% of the cost, our negotiations have resulted in them putting up approximately 87% of the cost, and that includes 87% of the cost for new curbs and sidewalks, which the state generally does not participate in. The local match for this project will be around $3 million. I know Chris mentioned a higher number, but we really think it's going to be very close to $3 million. That's only about 13% of the total cost, and we feel real good about that. The project as planned will improve this road from city limit, from the roundabout to the west limit just behind American Table Restaurant. The road will be completely resurfaced, including full-depth reconstruction where needed, new sidewalks plus multi-purpose trailway and a portion of it, new curbs and sewer inlets, ADA access ramps, and new driveway approaches for the more than 80 businesses and more than 100 homes along that route. Not only is our portion of the cost less than 15%, but we will do this without raising taxes or taking money away from other street paving projects. This project is a perfect example of the wise use of tax increment financing, or TIF. The roadway runs through all three of the city's TIF districts, and so the money going into the city's TIF funds are paid by businesses and industries that have built or expanded and located inside those three TIF districts. And these are the taxes that they already pay as a portion of their property taxes. So the surface road work and the other amenities I've mentioned does not increase property taxes on businesses, industries, or homeowners 1 cent over what we all now pay. Think of that again. No additional taxes will be required in order for us to fix that eyesore. When finished, there will be no more flooding in front of Washington Nursing Center and Griffith Elementary. No more tripping over uneven sidewalks between the west limits and State Street area. Better access for physically challenged walkers. A dedicated pathway for bikers and parents pushing infant strollers in the center business section. New curbs for improved drainage and looks. No busted and bent wheel rims like we've had the last month caused by deep potholes and smooth driving. That's the vision that can become reality with this project. On top of that, our engineers have told us that the need to tear up that roadway and replace water and sewer lines under that road will be necessary in the near future, regardless of who owns the road. So with the advice and the prudent judgment of this council sitting around here, we are planning on replacing those lines that we believe are 70 or 80 or maybe even 90 years old with new ones. Where possible, we will try to move them underneath the sidewalk or the trail out from underneath the paved roadway. New street lights are part of the project, as well as underground electric service in some areas. Also, the plans call for the installation of a conduit, the whole length of the roadway, to hopefully be leased someday to communications companies to easily pull fiber optic cables for high-speed internet through that part of the city. That's kind of the spine for high-speed internet. The cost of this work, the utility piece, is about $8 million, and it will be paid through the utility rates. The comparisons show us still remain lower than neighboring cities. Again, not through increased property taxes, and because the road is new with a solid base, maintenance should be minimal for many years with far fewer potholes for the city to fill than even in other areas of the city with older streets. While some of the seats of the faces of the, up here around the semicircle will be occupied by new faces by the time this project is complete, my goal and the goal of several of the council members throughout this process has been to put a plan in place and have the funding ready to pay for it. I'm not insinuating that executing the plan will be easy nor without disruption. No project of this size ever is, but the planning, the design, and the financing will be in place, ready to be finished. And couple all that with just the beauty of what it's going to look like. Some of you have seen these drawings. These are artist renderings of what the roadway can look like. For our own enjoyment and for visitors coming into town, especially those visitors that just might be an unknown site selector or a company executive looking for a place to build. The new road will make a statement that Washington does care about our city, our citizens, and our infrastructure. According to one 2009 study that I've seen, walkability, just as one piece of this project, as defined by good sidewalks or trails that connect parts of a community, can increase property values anywhere from $3,000 to $24,000. While we worked on that, and I spent a lot of time on it this evening because it's an important project, it's probably the single largest project the city's taken on, the department heads of this city have continued doing their regular good job of running their departments and improving equipment and operations wherever they could given the money and the time that they had. And while we're speaking of money, I should note that our collective approach to being fiscally conservative resulted in spending only 88% of budgeted expenses in 2018 in the general fund and 83 to 91% of most other budgeted funds. That continues a trend of 81 to 90% each year for at least the last 3 years. That means we're better prepared for any unexpected emergency that could come along and maintains our fund balances at very respectable levels. Another way to look at that is that since 2014, we've returned between $490,000 and $900,000 each year to the general fund that had been previously appropriated. The growth in general fund expenditures from 2015 to 2018 has averaged just over 4.5% per year, and that's not just the operations and the personnel expense. That includes the cost of many improvements in plant and equipment in those departments making up the general fund. I think that's a very respectable growth rate. The National Highway Improvement Project will occupy quite a bit of time during the remainder of this year. We will also continue to make sure all other areas of the city and the utility operations run smoothly. Some other specific areas that we will be addressing include: we have several transitions in several personnel positions due to announced retirements in four departments, and we will be completing the staffing in our IT function. Continued diligence over dilapidated properties that just seem to never go away, and continued efforts to keep our trash and tall grass and unsightly code violations in check, which, by the way, another study I recently read talks about how that can increase property values in a neighborhood, too, by keeping everything more sightly. Quality of life amenities, such as in our parks, our animal care, and our community events, and public safety as it relates to police and fire department staffing, equipment, and dispatch. So I don't see myself or any of our departments slowing down much as we continue into 2019. Now, why did I ask everybody to bring a food item or a pet product this evening? As you leave, take a look at what all we've accumulated back there. We've gathered quite a few items. We will share that with Feed My Sheep and our own animal shelter as a sign of what can be accomplished by working together. Could one person have gone out and bought all this? Maybe. Or would anyone do it? Maybe not, or not likely. But we combined our individual efforts, our individual sacrifices, and we've accumulated quite a stash of donations and good intentions to make a bit of difference in this corner of the world that we call Washington. I think it's a small sign of how we accomplished all the things we've accomplished over the last 7 years by working together. It also is another statement that as public servants, which all of us are that are either elected or appointed in this city, serve in many ways, including service to our four-legged friends and service to those less fortunate. This council, our Board of Public Works, our department heads, I think work quite well together to get things done. As I see it, the effectiveness of governing a city and the quality of place it offers is a collaborative effort. The success is assured more by being able to work together than by the talents of any one individual. My thanks to each council member around this room. My thanks to Tim and to Beth for your help and support. I want to thank you also to each of the department heads that are sitting out here this evening. What you do makes my job a whole lot easier. I want to publicly thank every city employee who comes to work every day doing their job, whatever that job is, to provide city services to our fellow city residents. In the final analysis, pay our salaries anyway. I have to thank my executive assistant, Debbie, for helping me in so many ways. I can't even see her back there, but she's back there somewhere. Especially in keeping my busy calendar in line and many times reminding me of, hey, where you were supposed to be somewhere 3 minutes ago, you better get going. I also would be remiss if I didn't thank my family who's represented here this evening. Thanks, guys, for coming. My daughters, Brenda and Angie and Lindsay, and our son-in-law, Scott, and we also have Maddox back there somewhere, our youngest grandson, and I think Catherine's back there, our youngest granddaughter who just turned one last week. So I want to thank them for their support and understanding in just so many ways, and their involvement in a lot of things in the community that helped us make a better community together. And finally, most importantly, I want to thank my best friend and my wife, what will soon be 45 years in a couple of weeks. Elaine is my support and strength when things go right and are happening the most of the time, and also the times when those days are a little bit less than ideal. So thank you, honey, for being there for me. And then we have to, and then I thank God for all the blessings that we have in Washington and all the people and the citizens and the businesses and the schools and the organizations that we work with every day, every week to make this place home. My prayer is that God will continue to bless us and keep us safe. Thank you for your attention this evening. Have a great 2019.